became one of those instant kind of no-brainer moments where I'm like, okay, this is the platform that I intuitively can understand. It does all the things I need. It plays well with others. I can plug it into other things. It just makes sense. And it started to scale as I started to grow in my role. So it became that toolbox that I knew I could bring with me into different places.
Hello, and welcome to the Conversations with Zendesk podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Saunders. Today, we are talking about building the support operation that your customers truly want with my guest, Brad Harris, Director of Global Customer Support at Bitly. Brad has built support teams from the ground up at several organizations over the course of his career. And in his current role, he is focused on elevating experiences for both Bitly and their QR code generator customers around the world. Brad is a seasoned pro, but he is not afraid to ask questions. He's the first to reach out to his community, share ideas, and experiment with new technologies. With so much happening in the world of CX, he has declared this his year of testing, and we are excited to learn about his process, how he's thinking about AI and other innovative technologies, and what change looks like when you're designing for two distinct customer bases. Before we dive in, a quick reminder that Zendesk Relate is just 1 month away. If you haven't reserved your spot yet, you still have time, but not for long. We're going to be in Las Vegas, April 16th through 18th, and I am really excited to connect with everyone and for all of us to get to learn what's ahead for Zendesk. Head to ZendeskRelate.com to check out the agenda that has an amazing list of speakers and sessions and things you won't want to miss. If you'd like to stay in the loop on Relate, Zendesk News, and of course this podcast, be sure to follow Zendesk on LinkedIn. That is our home for where we're sharing the latest, so be sure to join us there. All right, and without further delay, Brad Harris, welcome to the Conversations with Zendesk podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, Nicole. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. It's so fun to get to connect with you here. I know I've seen you around our online communities and different programs at Zendesk a lot, so it's fun to bring you onto the podcast as well. So as I mentioned in the introduction, you have two different use cases or internal customers, if you will, at Bitly. I think that's going to set the context for the rest of our conversation. So tell us a little bit about those two use cases and how they're different.
Yeah, absolutely. With the QR code generator customer base, we tend to get tickets that are a lot lower complexity, but in a higher volume. On the flip side, the Bitly brand that we're familiar with has kind of a higher quality or higher complexity of the types of tickets that we receive, but at a lower volume. So we have to approach the strategy a little bit differently between the two, but with the same disciplines and the same quality levels that we're trying to achieve with both.
So when you started looking at how you're going to set up your support systems for these two pieces, and I imagine one came before the other, so it's not like you were starting from scratch at the same time with both of them, how did you approach each of them differently?
Yeah. So when I joined Bitly, the Bitly brand or the connections platform was already using Zendesk and they'd been using it for several years at that point. When I joined the QR code team, they were currently on another platform. We wanted to make sure that we could have both groups under one umbrella and start acting as one team with just different brands. One of the things that stood out to me very early on was on the QR code generator customer base, they were receiving 10 plus times the amount of tickets than the Bitly side. And the first question I asked was, well, how many of those are just one touch solves? How many of them just require getting to the queue, having someone open it up, apply a macro or a quick response, and then solving it? And they said, it was at that time, it was about 80 to 90% of them were one touch solves.
Wow.
Which just screamed automation to me. So it was looking at,
absolutely,
how do we get to that point where we have a distinction between the types of tickets and how we approach that and understanding what it is that those customers are asking for.
So thinking about that automation, tell me a little about what you implemented and how did customers respond to that going from normally getting a human and now maybe having a different experience? What was that like?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're still learning, right? And I think that's a big part of what we're talking about is what it is that the customers want when they contact a company. And with the two different, but similar, but different platforms and products that we support, where the overlap is and where we treat it differently. And I think the approach with automation tools was to first find where customers are getting a hold of us, what makes sense for them, and kind of rein in some of the extra stuff, right? Like, we had exposed email addresses everywhere. And I think folks in the customer support world will understand email's not the ideal channel for an inbound ticket. There's a lot of lost information. Is a web form, a traditional submit a request form, the right solution? Do we have it hidden for some folks and exposed for some folks? And do you have to be signed in and signed up? So we wanted to look at what were they used to? How are they getting a hold of us right now? And then how we could transition to something like anything automated to be able to help us get back to our customers first. So we actually started with what was in our controllable universe at the beginning, right? We owned our Zendesk instance, which is, it's always a benefit when the support group has control over their support tool. And we looked at low-hanging fruit. What's the easy stuff? Of those one-touch solve tickets that we have, you know, what's the commonality? What tickets can we respond to without having to get to a human and know that the customer is going to get the answer that they're looking for? We started really just with a series of triggers that, based on the customer selection, they would get a different auto response, right? So it wouldn't right away say, thank you, we've got your ticket. Someone's going to get back to you. It's, hey, we got your ticket or we got your message. Here's some information that is frequently asked, or, you know, our customers that have this type of inquiry, here's some information that usually helps them. So it's almost like we're replying with an FAQ. And then we did something a little cheeky where we just said at the bottom, hey, no ticket was created from this, but if this didn't answer your question, reply back to us. We'll get you to an agent. We'll get you taken care of. So that really worked, took a lot of the bulk off of the team's back at the beginning while we were looking for additional support channels. And we ended up saying, hey, you know what? Let's give, you know, an AI chatbot a try and see how that goes.
That is really interesting, sort of how you outline that whole process. At the beginning of what you just told me, one of the things that you said is it's really important to understand what your customers are looking for, what kind of experience they want. How are you going about doing that? Are you using surveys? Are you working with the VOC team? Are you doing focus groups? What have you found are the best tools for really understanding customer needs and expectations?
Yeah, you know, we're still refining a lot of that. We have still with both of the separate brands, we've got different Net Promoter Score surveys that go out. So on one brand, it's kind of quarterly results. On the other, it's daily. So we have that as one source. We've got CSAT for both of the brands. And folks tend to find leadership and people who work at the company on LinkedIn or social, and they'll let us know. Yep. There. So definitely the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but it's also the squeaky wheel might have a point, right? So if they're having a hard time finding support, or if they prefer to do things one way, we got to listen. We can't ignore it. As you mentioned, this is the year of testing. And I really want to get a better idea of what it is that we're missing, right? Because we could come into this as support professionals and say, hey, I know that this is the future and this is the way that customers are going to want to talk to us, and it's chatbot first and automation. But there's still generations of folks and demographics of folks that are used to a different level of support. Now we're not really staffed for phone support. We're definitely not staffed for chat, but what can we do to be able to kind of bridge that gap of what they want and what they expect versus what we're able to feasibly handle? So we implemented an AI chatbot through Ada, and we embed that on our help centers. Right now, it's just on the help centers. The QR code generator help center, that's right now the only choice for inbound support. There's emails and those sorts of things too, but that's where we want to direct our customers to. Now, we've also found customers saying, I can't get a hold of support. I don't know where to find support. Even though in our minds, we made it way easier. We unhid the contact form. We unhid all of this stuff. We exposed our support, not just to those that were signed in and could find the chatbot, but to everybody. And then we decided to, what happens if we turn that off? Let's turn on the submit a request to everybody and turn off the bot and see what kind of volumes we get, see how that impacts our backlog and how that impacts ultimately our first reply times and our CSATs. And it was used. Like, customers used it. They used it 40 to 50% more than our chatbot. And I think it's really interesting to be able to definitively now say, yes, this chatbot is a huge benefit for our teams. And it's an immediate support for our customers. We're not sitting around and waiting in queues. And now we're still kind of waiting for all of our CSAT and NPS data to come in so that we could kind of lock that down and say, okay, on to the next test.
That's so smart. And it's so important to run those tests and experiments to validate what you think you know. Because I think it's always a big risk that you run when you start to think that you know what your customers want better than they do. So validating that with feedback, validating it with experiments, using data and tracking so that you can really understand the upstream and downstream impacts of anything you implement is really critical. Now, I understand that you have set up these kinds of operations at multiple organizations. Bitly isn't your first run at this. So talk to me a little bit about that and maybe some of the differentiators that you've had with some different sized organizations and some different audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of kicked off my early customer support, customer experience career at a camera company. It started with, hey, Brad, we've got a ticketing platform that is a plugin for Outlook, and we've running into all these problems. Help us find something. And that's what I tried out a few different platforms, found Zendesk, and it became one of those instant kind of no-brainer moments where I'm like, okay, this is the platform that I intuitively can understand. It does all the things I need. It plays well with others. I can plug it into other things. It just makes sense. And it started to scale as I started to grow in my role. So it became that toolbox that I knew I could bring with me into different places, whether it was launching it from scratch at one company or, you know, being brought in as a contractor to improve the existing instance of a company that's been using it for a while, or to make the decision at another that, hey, the platform you've got is good, but we could be so much more efficient and so much more powerful if we step over to this platform. Wherever I end up, I know that I have a solution that I can make work quickly and I can make work really well and probably continue scaling with the needs of that company.
Well, certainly we love to hear that you found a tool that you like to use, as you said, the backbone to your operations wherever you go, and that you found it intuitive. But obviously, you've had to build up a lot of knowledge to be able to do all of this. How did you go about doing that? What are some of the resources that you found really helpful that other people might want to look at?
You know, there's support driven in some of the really big communities for multi-platform. But really, I think where I found the tightest group of folks that have been the most supportive and the most communicative and relatable was actually through Zendesk support communities. There is one that I've been part of for a long time, the Zendesk for Startups community. And that's kind of the first place I go to when I'm saying, hey guys, I'm going to test out turning off our chatbot for a bit, or I'm going to see what channels work well, or what chatbots do you all use? Like, what should I be aware of? What do you like? What do you not like? And how are things structured? And I think just being part of a community in that sense really helps these days where I'm literally the only one in my office. I'm at home. I don't have anyone to chat with. And then Zendesk Relate is only once a year. So who do I talk to? Who do I share ideas with? Whose tests am I going to cheat off of, right? Because I'm not the first one to think of something. I don't need to reinvent the wheel, but let's copy that and tweak it a little bit, you know? I think those have been the most valuable resources for me in my personal and professional growth. And I think there's a lot of that is tied to Zendesk and the growth with the platform. But then I've met some really incredible people. And, you know, there's been times in between jobs that I go out there and hey, who can help? Not just on LinkedIn, but like, hey, anybody have an idea? Anybody got anything going on? Can you help take a look at a resume? Can you take a look at this? Or what should I learn in the in-between? It's invaluable.
Well, Brad, as you know, when I'm not hosting the podcast, my day job is leading the community programs here at Zendesk. So everything you've had just said is just making my heart happy. It's making me glow. And I swear to the listeners, we did not pay him to say that. I didn't ask him to. But I'm so glad to hear that you have found so much help with that. And I think you're right. You know, in this world where we're all working remotely, you know, my husband is my coworker down in the living room. It is really helpful to have those online connections and those people that you can talk to. And we definitely see people in the community that stick around the community through multiple jobs and multiple organizations. And there's a real through line there. So that is so helpful. So, you know, everyone, that's my other plug. Come to Relate. Come meet some people. We've got our user groups. You can join those. We've got our online discussion forums. We've got a startups community. Lots of opportunities to connect you with knowledgeable folks. And we want to make sure that we're always there supporting you along the way. So thank you so much for sharing all of that, Brad. I'm really pleased.
Absolutely. And thank you for helping cultivate such wonderful communities. I owe a lot to the Zendesk communities.
We're so glad to hear it. So we've talked a little bit about kind of where you've been in the past, how you've run some of these experiments. And I think that is super valuable. We all need to be thinking about how we're testing things and also where we can lean on other people, right? In some cases, maybe you don't have to run the test because you can talk to somebody that's done that and they can share their experiences. If we pivot now and look to the future, what's next on the roadmap? I know that you're always thinking ahead. You're always running those experiments. What are you looking to move into?
What I'm looking forward to is on everybody's mind, and that's how is AI? How will these new tools affect support? How will it affect the landscape as we move forward? And there's a lot that I don't know, and it's coming out so fast, and there's so much stuff that it's almost impossible for me to keep up. So I use my communities and I use the groups of people that I'm plugged into to say, like, what are you thinking about? And how does AI kind of fit in your scope? Or what are you using these tools for? And then really kind of just sparking those sort of conversations. And I think that's the big thing is I don't know what I don't know. So this AI chatbot, it is a baby bot. It is still in its infancy. We're trying to get it, plug it in to other platforms and make it super smart and super helpful. But then what next, right? And what is it that we can do as a support organization or even just Bitly as a whole? You know, what kind of technology can we embrace that will deliver better experiences for our customers and better usage of our tools and our products? Because Bitly is kind of a company that's everywhere, right? Ever since joining, I see QR codes and short links everywhere all of a sudden, right? Miracle how that happens. And
I've used it at every job I've ever had. So right
same.
Back at
I think when I started and I activated my account from my Gmail, it said that my first link was from 2010. And I know that I had been using it before that too. So that was pretty cool. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm an OG. This is cool. There's just so much out there. And I think it's really inspiring that even at Bitly, we've got an AI committee, we've got an AI guild, we've got folks that are specifically set up in these subgroups and these teams that are discussing how we can use these different tools to our advantage, how we can make it work better in our day-to-day, how can that then spill over onto our customers' experience, which is, I always fall back on, like, we can do all these amazing things, but how's that affect the customer? How's that going to, you know, make their day better? How are we going to get back to them faster? Those sorts of things. So I think that's what I'm excited about, is just continuing to learn more in that space.
Yeah, I am too. I'll tell you, I actually just joined a community of people just talking about AI for the same reasons, that we can really be learning and thinking about it. So, you know, neither of us knows exactly what those impacts are going to be or what it's going to look like. Is there anything in particular that you're hoping that AI will do for you in the future?
It is already doing so much that I never expected it to do that it's hard for me to even speculate or like think that far out, right? I'm really hoping that with this kind of rapid growth, that we do continue to make sure that our humans and our people and our teams are plugged in on that. And we still have that personal touch and that human empathy that all of us value as customers ourselves. But then how do we continue making this information that our customers need front and center? How do we make it easier for them to get what they need? Do we do it within our app? Do we do it within a help center? Do we do it within communication? Or do we just build it into part of the product? And there is so many tools and so many more people far smarter than me that are thinking around these corners. And I think I'm really just excited to stand on the side and watch this happen and jump in when it looks fun and interesting and something that can propel this space forward.
Well, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today. Are you going to be at Relate? Will I see you in person there?
I think I am.
Awesome.
It has been submitted. We have budgeted for it. We're ready to go. I just need to buy those tickets and get everything going. But yes, I really look forward to Relate. And in Vegas, too. Like, how can you go wrong?
It's going to be a really good time. And aside from that, I will see you around the community. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brad.
Thanks, Nicole.
And listeners, please be sure to join us for our next episode. Subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast platform to make sure that we land in your feed. If you have questions or suggestions for future episodes, please reach out to us at cwzpodcast@zendesk.com. As always, we would love it if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts or share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Until next time, I'm Nicole Saunders for Zendesk, the intelligent heart of customer experience.